Welcome everybody to episode 7 of the Real Mentors podcast. Super excited to be here. We got a very, very special guest today, which I'll introduce in a minute. We're coming to you live from the girlslife.com studios. I got it right, Mike.
Yeah.
I'm Jose, the Real Mentor. You catch the latest and greatest movie reviews on YouTube. A lot of topics to touch base today. We're not going to talk about the Oscars. I know it's tomorrow, but we'll get back to it next week. For those who want to hear our predictions, episode 6, we have all lined up for you. First, I want to introduce a man to my left. He's going to get top billing once again because this is his house. The man beast himself, the lovable, yet dangerous, Mike Rose. How you doing, man?
What in the dickens?
Let me say something funny. And to my right, we got the Spaniard himself, our technical producer, who we give a hard time to, but I want to give him some props today. He's done an excellent job putting the show together, editing it, putting it on Facebook, getting a Facebook page together. We really appreciate that. Doing a really good job with the promotional stuff, George. You know, it's not all, you know, coming down on you. We do give you some little respect.
And every week we're growing, so that's the...
Exactly. It's exciting. You're a big part of it, so we do appreciate that, yeah. And he heads our crack research team.
Oh, thank you.
You know, which is fantastic, you know.
Highlight on the crack.
The crack.
Yeah, the crack research team, huh?
We don't condone drug users, but for you we do, because we love you, man. Mr. Thanks. George Report, how you doing, big guy?
Good, guys. How y'all doing, man? What's up?
Doing all right. And of course, before I get to my special guest, I do want to make a quick shout out to our sponsor this week, the Jose for Life Foundation, who has treated me very well over the years, nonprofit organization, a subdivision of the Human Fund, if you guys know any Seinfeld fans out there. So we're going to have a link up on Facebook. You guys can donate so I can continue to live my life in the lifestyle that I'm accustomed to. I do appreciate anybody making those donations, and we'll get that up shortly. So, but now, one of my best friends here, the best friend for the last 30 years almost. I think it's been a long time. That's not to show my age or anything like that. Whew. But a good friend of mine, he's our top 10 list guru, if you will. So we're entertaining him for a little bit. He was supposed to be here on the Valentine's Day show, but we couldn't do that. So we try to squeeze it in this week. Mr. Jose Lopez, which we affectionately just called Lopez. How you doing, big guy?
Doing fantastic. It is an honor and a privilege to be with you guys. So,
even George?
Even George, yes.
Wow, dude, just kidding, George. George is already... No, relax. Don't start... The show just started. Yeah, it's going to get worse. I guarantee that.
Every week is an adventure, guys.
So I want to touch base. I know me and George went to see Gods of Egypt on Wednesday. My reviews are already up on the website and Facebook and all that. I want to talk about that disaster of a movie. But... we're waiting in line. I went to get something to eat, and I ate outside the theater. And I'm sitting down eating some pizza.
Wait, where'd you eat, though?
Some pizza joint.
Just some pizza joint, or, like, does it have a name?
I didn't know what the name was. I was just walking around trying to find something.
You just, like, buy food randomly off the street?
Hey, dude, if it smells good, I'm buying it, dude.
Am I crazy here?
No. I was walking down Lincoln Road, and I'm like, oh, it's a pizza joint. So I walked in and bought a pizza.
Back me up, Jose. I think that's...
How is that? What's wrong with that?
I don't just jump in any pizza place, man. I'm sorry, it's.
I'm an adventurous kind of guy, dude.
I love pizza. Don't get me wrong. I'm telling you.
It's adventurous.
It's a couple of slices. Is not a big deal. But either way,
it fits his personality.
Right. It does. You know, try different things. Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, food and women. It's all the same thing. Try anything once. What the hell? So
some
I'm sitting down.
I'm gonna lift on.
It's not always good. I agree with you there, but I'll try it. So you know, gotta go for that Kwan. So I'm sitting down. Some guy next to me. He's got his backpack on. This really hot-looking girl walks by and sits down next to the guy. Well, near the guy. So, you know, I catch him over. I catch him looking at it for a little bit. You know, he's like, okay, staring at her. And I was too, I can't lie. All of a sudden, you know, finishing my pizza from unknown establishment. And this guy brings out a sketch pad. I'm like, okay, he's an artist, apparently. He starts drawing, whatever. And I kind of look over and I kind of look at the drawing. And I see, like, long hair. I'm like, and he keeps looking at the girl. I was like, this guy's drawing the girl. Kind of creepy, I thought. All right, so he's kept looking at her, drawing. The girl looks over and sees him drawing her and stays, doesn't leave, and smiles at him. And I was like, okay, that actually worked. I leave, so I'm thinking, I don't know, well, I'm not an artist, but apparently that's a great way to pick up chicks, apparently, because it was working, because she was very,
I don't know,
girl.
I think that's super creepy.
I think it's creepy, but it worked. She turned around, sees the guy, smiles, and just turns back, and I look.
Was he goofy looking or anything?
He looked like a little kind of bummish, to be honest with you. Like, he wasn't like, I wouldn't say that, like, good looking
guy.
No, but
you know that whole thing is in now, right? Is, like, everybody looking like freaking Duck Dynasty or some crap like that.
No, it wasn't that bad. He was just like a regular Joe, you know, he's got his pants and t-shirt. Nothing special about him, I don't know. But,
I'll give you
I guess maybe it's flattering the girl. I don't know, is he drawing her? I don't know. But I guess it works.
How did it look like he knew what he was doing?
No, he did. Like when I stood up to go back into line, it looked like a good
drawing. I'm just saying, you got peeps, yeah. So I was just saying that, you know what?
Oh, no, exactly. Yeah, okay, no, it looked good. You know, I mean, it was by pencil, and he had kind of finished it, but it looked nice. And
I mean, apparently like, I draw a picture of a girl, it's like a stick figure. Or
I just take a picture on the phone.
It's like a hangman type thing.
Oh, I'll go take a selfie with her, and I'm good with that, you know. It's more accurate that way. But I left, so I didn't get to see exactly if he picked her up, but it started off well. So I'm starting to think, I was talking to Joyce and telling the story and all that, and I got me thinking about, because we talk about movies here on the show. So what are great pickup lines or scenes in movies? So I'll talk to my friend Lopez over here to generate his special top 10 list for best pickup lines / scenes in movie history. Again, it's his list. He gave me a little taste of it. The other gentleman, I haven't seen it yet. So let's start out with that. I'm kind of curious to see what you came up with. Let's start with the top 10 to 7 first.
All right.
To see what we got on that.
All right. That's cool. Absolutely. Let's go over some of the best pickup lines that I've seen. One of them is within Notting Hill, the movie Notting Hill.
George, you like that way, don't you?
Of course, you got Hugh Grant, Julia Roberts, and the famous scene is where Julia Roberts, they finally seal the deal per se, and Julia Roberts turns to him and says, I'm just a girl standing in front of a boy asking him to love her. So that's one of them.
Hold on, guys, I need a moment to
shoot myself in the face.
Well, watch Mike shoot himself. I'm going to dry my tears a little bit. All right, I digress. Go ahead.
This is a weapon-free podcast, by the way.
Thank God.
Yeah. All right, so we'll stay on the girls and the stuff that they say.
Okay.
In Jerry Maguire, Renee Zellweger, there's that famous scene where she tells him, after he declares his love and whatnot, or she comes back and she says, "You had me at hello." So that's hello. One famous.
That agree.
Yeah, but I think that the Tom Cruise line is way more famous.
Absolutely.
Than that.
And I'm going to that. That was my next one. So now Tom Cruise. There we go.
See.
He of course has that famous line where he says, "You complete me."
So, yeah, I gotta get credit to you. That's a great line.
Right, but that whole monologue that he does after they have that huge
argument.
That's a great one. I love that movie.
You
love that movie.
I always
there's nothing wrong with Jerry Maguire, dude.
What's wrong with Jerry Maguire? Go ahead.
Nothing. Dude. Nothing is wrong with it. Just I've been getting lip for years about that movie because
No. Hold up. You want me to tell that story?
That's a very good movie.
That's okay.
Let's tell it because George already brought it up. So I always like Jerry Maguire. Come on, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't like Show Me the Money. Great. It's a great movie.
Oh, no, it's great. It's
Cameron Crowe, right?
Cameron Crowe.
So I've always loved that movie. I'm a big Tom Cruise fan. I won't hide that. But George, now, apparently, though, we're getting George at, not because he liked the movie or owns it or whatever. If I could, I own it too. The one particular, I don't know what scene it was. It could have been You Complete Me or whatever. Apparently, George, who admits this to us, don't know why, that he shed a couple of tears in that moment. That's why we jumped on your case. Not because you like Jerry Maguire.
Listen, I'm going to defend you there. I'm not going to say that I did because I didn't. But I can see how somebody can get a little emotional after that scene. I think that I'm here for my wife scene is very good.
But it's not even that scene. It was with Cuba Gooding Jr. when he goes down the middle and he's trying to play
it wasn't that scene? Oh.
No, it's in the movie.
You cried after the football scene?
No, when Rob, he goes down the middle, and then like everybody thinks he's like knocked out, and then Rod, he goes into Rod the stands, and Rod Tidwell, and then he goes into the stands, and he's there, and he goes.
And Rod, we trust.
And and he goes and he scores the touchdown when he goes down the middle, and then he goes, yeah, that because.
I think we're better off leaving it crying after You Complete Me, to be perfectly honest. That's just me, though.
Confused. No, I mean, that scene was a good scene.
I'll give him credit, because Dolphin fans, you're probably crying after the game, too.
I'm a huge Dolphin
fan. So, what? So, in his defense. But either way, we're getting way off track. But either way, I do like them way for the record. I love Jerry Maguire. What's next?
Go ahead.
What we got? What else we got?
All right, we'll continue the woman theme here. In Our Wedding, Four Weddings and a Funeral. There's finally a scene.
That's five funerals, in my opinion. But
there you go. Well, Andy McDowell famously knocks on Hugh Grant's door, and of course, there's a back and forth. And during their back and forth, she finally she's all wet in the rain, and she tells him,
I like it.
Is it still raining? Because I hadn't noticed. So she throws that in there, and that sort of sealed that whole deal in that scene. So that was. I thought that was really good.
I just want to come out and say that I can't stand Hugh Grant. I don't like any of his movies. I think he stinks. He looks like he stinks, too, on top of that. He looks like he has bad body odor. And but you know what? I give you your how you doing with that. It's just not that. Yeah.
I don't think I've seen Four Weddings and a Funeral.
I've seen that. I've seen them all. My wife is a fan of that movie. So I've seen that stuff just kind of hanging out. I try to avoid anything Julia Roberts or anything with Hugh Grant or Andy McDowell or anything with Cameron Diaz.
Well, Andy McDowell, Groundhog Day.
Groundhog Day is amazing.
But she's in that, so she's not all bad.
Yes.
I love Groundhog Day, but that's not really a pickup movie.
No, but I'm saying as far as Andy McDowell, she's not all bad. But either way, digress.
Go ahead, buddy. Keep going. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut in.
All right, so let's flip the switch here and let's talk about the guys and their pickup lines. So let's go to Top Gun.
Oh, yeah. Yes, yes.
All right. The scene I'm talking about is Tom Cruise at the piano, I believe. Yep. And his gang
You've
is
lost
right
that loving feeling.
And they're singing You Lost That Loving Feeling
to Goose.
To Kelly McGillis.
To Goose.
No.
He's not singing the Goose thing.
No. When he tells Goose, he goes, oh, I think she's lost that loving feeling.
No, you haven't. Right. I hate when that happens. No, but that's a famous scene. That's a great scene.
Great scene.
Yeah, I worked there. It could have ended really cheesy, but it kind of worked.
As an Air Force guy, by the way, that movie, as far as the way fighter pilots behave, is as close to realistic as it gets.
Oh, wow. So did you sing that kind of song, Mike?
I'm not a fighter pilot. I was a medic. I knew a lot of fighter pilots, and I have a lot of friends that are fighter pilots, and that's absolutely realistic.
I can see that. Yeah, I can see that. But that's great. It's probably, for me, I'll put that number one.
Two things about Tom Cruise being a fighter pilot, by the way. He'd be a perfect fighter pilot because he's 3 feet tall. And, you know, and just flying in a high-performance jet aircraft, you have to be short. I've known very few tall fighter pilots. 23 years in the Air Force, I've only seen two guys that were even approaching my height that flew.
Really? I know fighters. About that.
Yeah, it's a short guy thing. Oh, okay, so it's accurate. Not because of anything. It's just because you're...
I just want the cockpit are small. I've never been in one.
Sitting height is one of the things that they check when you're getting your initial physical to become a fighter pilot. So I know that sounds stupid and weird, but it's absolutely 100% true.
Might bring out the truth for us. Educating
Sorry, brother. Didn't mean
no,
me
please.
To,
please.
Yeah.
This is very interesting. Very educational.
There you go.
Yeah, we have to learn something on the show besides have fun and make fun of you.
Someone's number five.
All right. I actually got a scene where there's no dialogue at all. And it's the very famous scene, and you've probably pictured it in your mind. You can see it. It's in Say Anything, where John Cusack holds that boombox over his head outside the window. And
Peter Gabriel's
Your Eyes, In Your Eyes.
Great song.
Fantastic song.
I think that's a fantastic
scene. Yeah, that's another famous scene. Like, there's the ones that people may not know the movie, but they'll see a scene. Oh, that scene with that guy radio. They know that scene.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Even now, the young kids probably, well, I don't know about that. But they may know that. But that's a world famous scene. Absolutely, yeah. Good choice there. I like that one.
Excellent.
All right, so next.
By the way, I don't think that movie holds up as well as some of the other movies.
I haven't seen it.
I agree.
I saw it about 2 years ago, and I was excited to see it. And when I saw it, I was like,
You're kind of just waiting for the scene.
Yeah. No, the scene's still great. It just, I don't
think
the movie
scene.
Itself holds up. Not like Breakfast Club holds up.
Right.
Great movie.
But his character is awesome.
Yeah.
Lloyd Dobler.
Yeah.
All right. So next up, I have Harry Met Sally. And the scene is where they're in the New Year's Eve party.
Mike's favorite, by the way. Mike's already expressed his disdain for
you
that.
Got your New Year's
I
Eve
don't party. Know why, but whatever. But go ahead.
You got your New Year's Eve party.
There's bourbon over there,
Billy Crystal finally tracks her down, tracks out down Meg Ryan. And the scene I'm talking about and the lines I'm talking about is when he's describing how everything he loves about her.
Yeah.
I know it's sappy. I know it's, you know.
Yeah, when he says, I love it, when it takes you 2.5, whatever, all that time to order a sandwich
that,
or salad.
Exactly.
Or,
yeah,
I love that
yeah.
You're the last person I want to talk to before I go to sleep at night. And then he finally ends it off with, I finally want to start my life with someone and you're the one, something like that. Dude.
That's a great line, Mike. Just saying.
All right, dude.
I mean, it is what it is, man. You know? What else? What else we got?
All right, so I'm coming down to my top four here.
Top four. All right, it's top four. What is it?
Top four. All right, so number four. I'm going to throw a curveball here, and I'm talking about Bram Stoker's Dracula. This is the Gary
Oldman. Isn't Keanu Reeves in this?
Keanu Reeves.
Yeah. Winona Ryder.
Terrible.
Gary Oldman.
One of the worst actors in history.
Agree.
Dude. I agree.
He's back.
Anybody that's in like a period piece like Bram Stoker's Dracula is like, whoa,
yeah,
dude.
He's bad. He's bad.
What's up?
He's a surfer in every single film that he makes.
Terrible. Even in Bram Stoker's Dracula.
But he's in good movies.
So the scene I'm talking about is where he's in, there's like something playing in the background, and he catches up to his love of his life, who he travels through time and oceans. And we're talking about Winona Ryder and her character, Nina Harker. He tells her, and he seals the deal per se, saying, I've crossed oceans and time to find you. So
that's what we call a baja pantis.
Baja pantis.
Yeah, a panty dropper. You say that. It's gold. Seal it in. The Quan has been attained. Good for Dracula. That's why he lives so long. He's a genius. Sorry, go ahead. Interrupt there, but go ahead.
All right, top three. Thelma and Louise. This is the scene I'm talking about. It's the scene where Brad Pitt and Gina Davis are in a motel bedroom. And they're on the actual bed. And if you remember this scene, you know, he's I guess he's shirtless. He has a blow dryer. He has a cowboy hat. He's all, you know, playing around. And then finally, he's on the bed with her, and this is the line he uses to seal the deal. He says, I may be an outlaw, darling, but you're the one stealing my heart.
Aw.
Awesome pickup.
But that's a good line, though. But that's good. Again, baja panties.
Melt them panties. All right. Next, I got...
This is number two, right?
This is number two. All right. So this is... We're going old school here. We're going Casablanca.
Casablanca, very good movie.
Fantastic film. And I'm flipping the switch again, because this scene is Ingmar Bergman, with Humphrey Bogart, and the Germans are closing in, and time is running out, and the famous scene is that they're together, they're about to say goodbye and whatnot, and then you hear a boom in the background, and then she turns to him and says, and she finally displays her feelings for him for the first time. She says, is that cannon fire or is that my heart pounding?
So good line.
That's the pickup
line. Yeah, that's a good line. Yeah.
So that's how she displays her feelings for him finally in that film.
Actually, that's good homework for you, George, if you haven't seen that movie.
Which one?
That's amazing. Casablanca. Have you seen it?
Here's looking at you, Kate, of course.
People know the line. Have you seen the movie?
Of course I've seen the movie.
Okay.
It's an amazing movie.
It's a great movie.
Yeah,
it is.
It's a great movie.
Yeah, out of all the places you have to come into mind. Yeah, I've seen the movie.
I was talking to Mike, and he actually saw it when he was, 35 when he saw the movie?
Yes.
So it's great that we know someone at the table who saw it in the theater. That's amazing. That's amazing. Just messing, Mike. So what's number one? What do we got?
All right, what's
the top pickup line?
All right, here's my top pickup line. I mean... This could have been in any order, obviously, but last one I have is the movie As Good As It Gets.
Yes.
Okay. Jack Nicholson, Helen Hunt, I believe Greg Kinnear's in it. The scene I'm talking about is the dinner date scene where he finally turns to her and he says, you make me want to be a better man.
Yeah, that's a great line.
And then she says, that's the greatest compliment I could ever get. So
funny enough, I actually used that once.
Did it work?
I've seen a girl. It worked. I've seen a girl for a little bit, and we talk about movies, and she never seen a movie. It's not like perfect, and I made sure never to see the movie with her again. But I threw a line out like it was mine, and it worked great. So I thank Jack Nicholson for his superb. It worked, man. It worked.
I stole that line, man.
And it worked.
I don't think that is a romantic movie at all. I think that movie's just a great movie.
It's a great movie, but it's a romantic. That scene is romantic or whatever.
There's just some really cool lines. What if this is as good as it gets? He's sitting in the psychiatrist's office, or psychologist. I don't know. I think psychiatrist.
Right.
You know, there's just so many little scenes in that movie that are great, and. Cuba Gooding Jr. is very good in that movie, and Greg Kinnear is very good
in
that movie. Helen Hunt looks fantastic in that movie.
She does, yeah.
And it's really the only movie that I've seen her in that I like. She's another one.
She's on crap. You're right.
She's done a lot of movies, and I don't like many of them.
Twister.
There's that one film where she's she plays the one that sleeps with the handicapped man. What's the name of that film?
Oh yeah, that's a terrible movie too.
Oh my god, I know that movie.
She's actually
it's
like her first nude scene or something.
Yeah, that was awful.
Yeah.
All He's so bad right now, to be honest.
I've seen that movie, unfortunately. I can't remember what it was called.
Research team will be on that, but apparently...
No, I was looking at something. I was looking at something else. I was trying to look, see if it was a psychiatrist or psychiatrist, you know, like in a movie. You know, and
it was a psychiatrist's office or a psychologist's office, one of the two.
Yeah, I don't think that really matters. I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
Psychiatrist, whatever. Therapist.
Yeah, it was that more like a therapist.
But that that is a great movie, though. Yeah, that's one I think most people should watch if they haven't got a chance to watch that. Let's do real quick. I know just to break that, just to appease Mike here, he's gonna love this. Let's do just the five. Pick the best five from the top 10 list for, because we want to do this on Valentine's Day, because it was Valentine's Day. You know, we're guys, but we're romantic at heart. You know. Well, yeah, so I tell the ladies anyway. most of them believe it. So let's do your top. Pick the five best out of your list of the best rom-coms.
Right.
Or romantic movies or whatever I would let you come up with for that.
All right, let me set this up by saying I've been married a little bit over 14 years. So a lot of these films I've watched with my wife. Obviously, there's nothing wrong with watching these films alone, but by all means, you know, these films I've watched with my wife. They're good. They're entertaining to some point or most of the point, there's some sentimentality. There's no reason not to show your soft side by watching these films, especially with a significant other. So my top five. It seems very similar to some of the scenes I have already described to you, but. My number five came out in 1999. It's Notting Hill. The screenwriter is Richard Curtis, and I'll explain the reason why I bring that up. For some reason, this Richard Curtis screenwriter is in my top five more than once. So apparently, he must know something about love, or he knows how to write about it. So 1999, once again, Notting Hill. It's that film, Hugh Grant, Julia Roberts, where he is the bookstore owner, and it's the story of it's that story about that little insignificant man who gets the beautiful famous girl. So that's why I have it in my top five.
She was a movie actress, remember?
She's famous.
Yeah, she's a movie actress, right? And she's filming a movie in that thing, and she goes to that place and she runs into Hugh Grant.
Right. So it's a chance meeting, and then they get together, and then you never expect him to,
no one recognizes her, and then she's over there, and then her roommate is the one that knows it and brings the press out.
I've heard it, but never seen it.
All right, so I recommend it with, sitting down with a significant other and watch this film. number four, came out in 1994, and it's once again, I believe you haven't seen this either. It's Four Weddings and a Funeral, also written by Richard Curtis, directed by Mike Newell. This is also Hugh Grant, our famous Brit, bumbling Brit, and Andie MacDowell is the female character. And once again, this is just, he keeps running into the love of his life, and she keeps disappearing, eventually, obviously, there's a happy ending at the end, but that struck a chord, about that man who she's right there, but not really, and then eventually at the end, they do get the girl, so
they always do.
He's also done Bridget Jones, Love Actually. You know, some of the War Horse, like the writer that you're talking about.
Okay, Richard
Curtis. Richard Curtis, he's done those, he's written those movies. So, yeah, you can see how there's multiple.
That guy sucks. Just kidding.
All right, top three, here we go. Number three, 1989. Rob Reiner directed When Harry Met Sally. And once again, this is Billy Crystal and Ryan. And you gotta love the chemistry there. It's obvious that they do get along, and it's a 12-year journey amongst them. It's a classic film about whether or not best friends should fall in love. That struck a chord when back in the day. So this one was written by Nora Ephron, just FYI. Number two, I have 1993, director Nora Ephron. Here you go. Here's a link from number three to number two. Sleepless in Seattle.
Of course.
Good movie.
Yeah.
You got Tom Hanks and, of course, Meg Ryan. Go ahead.
I want to go far to say it's a good one. Not one of our personal favorites, but whatever. But I get it. That movie is,
that's
a Baja Pantis movie. You got to put that on with a girl.
It's a classic.
Yeah, it's a classic Netflix and chill movie. It is what it is.
That's true. Once again, it's that story of the widow who has a son. She's a reporter, hears him for the first time about his sad story, reaches out to him, and they, you know, it's that that story of a, like, there's only one magic perfect person in your life, and mm-hmm. and eventually that's what happens. This movie actually is a it's a rework of some an older movie called An Affair to Remember. I don't know if anyone's heard of that.
I've heard the name, but I haven't seen the movie.
And they reenact sort of that scene, the Empire State Building scene, which is at the end of that film, where they finally decide to they agree upon a meeting for the first time.
That's in Sleepless in Seattle.
So, that was Tom Hanks, right?
Yeah. Tom Hanks.
Yeah. So this movie's an homage to that film, okay. An Affair to Remember. So just another FYI tidbit. And my number one top 10 rom-com. And when I saw it back in the day, back in 2003 or 2004, I don't remember exactly when I saw it, but not only do you get one, but you get 8 love stories in one film. And this is a film that sort of it was before, you know, such movies where a bunch of actors, like, you know, famous actors are in the film.
Valentine's Day. Or New Year's Day or whatever. Yeah, Eve.
Exactly. It's,
all that stuff is crap.
Garbage.
It is. But this is Bahopani's, you know, to the max. It's Love Actually.
Yeah. And that actually, I'll admit, I do like that one.
It's, once again, written by Richard Curtis.
Hugh Grant.
And he Richard Curtis directed this film as well. So, there Hugh you go. Grant. Richard Curtis ties in all my top 5 here. Hugh Grant, you got Liam Neeson.
Oh, that's right. I forgot he was in that.
Liam Neeson's in it.
Before he lost his daughter.
There you go. And believe it or not,
he's got a certain set of skills.
Yeah, you got Emma Thompson. You have Martin Freeman in this. Joanna Page. You know, Andrew Lincoln.
Martin Freeman's in that movie too?
Yeah, Keira Knightley. Keira Knightley,
that's right. Yeah.
So the one story that does not pan out in this of all the 8 couples and whatnot, the one famous scene that stands out, and I don't know if you've probably seen it.
No, I have not seen it, will you?
Yeah. It's where Andrew Lincoln is standing outside the door, and he has cue cards.
Yeah.
He doesn't talk to her, but he's like flipping through the cue cards, explaining his feelings for her. And it obviously didn't work because this is the only couple in that film that
you can't write that down. You gotta say it to her, man. Come on now.
He didn't get the girl.
It's like Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan. Yeah. Or the NXS.
Right. So. They stole that from Bob Dylan. Yeah.
No, they did, but they repeated it or whatever.
I mean, I've always enjoyed that one scene in The Princess Bride when Wes keeps telling her "As you wish."
That's a great movie, though.
You know, that line that says "As you wish."
No.
It's just an adventure.
I'm just saying it's like in one of those fantasy lines, like a movie line. You know, like every time you said "as you wish," it's like a way to say "I love you."
Yeah, no, that's okay.
You know, so something like that. Yeah, as you wish.
So this is a pre-Walking Dead Andrew Lincoln, just FYI.
Yeah.
With a British accent, no less.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
Of course, I do have some honorable mentions.
Honorable mentions.
Okay, honorable mentions. All right,
I've left off the list some black rom-coms, such as Waiting to Exhale and The Best Man. These are some of the more famous ones. Mm. There's a, you know, we can't leave our lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender community out there with Chasing Amy.
That's a great movie.
A rom-com.
Yeah, I love that movie.
Right?
Yeah.
Kevin Smith.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. His second film.
They're saying it's one of his, they say it's probably his best.
I say his third movie. Yeah, you're right. It's third movie. Yeah, I think it's best all-around movie. Yes, I agree. Right.
Better than Mallrats?
Yeah. Yeah. Not funny than Mallrats, but a better overall movie.
Yep.
Okay. Better put together.
Yeah.
I think Mallrats a better movie, but it's all good.
Yeah. I like Mallrats, but yeah.
You got rom-coms also that there's no happy endings, such as, and the one that stands out in my mind is 500 Days of Summer.
Never saw it.
Never seen it?
I've seen it. It was on last night, actually, on one of those FX, TNT, one of those.
Right, those FX, FXX, what are they calling them?
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
It's a good film. It goes back and forth.
I just saw it scanning through. Right. I think I've seen it.
Never seen it.
Sorry for the spoiler alert there. Sorry, I should have edited it.
Yeah, nobody's seen that. Nobody wants to see that movie anyway. Spoiler away. Who cares? George, I know you're a big kind of romantic kind of guy. Mm-hmm. What are some of your favorites, man?
Well, I mean, I think he's mentioned some of them like that are on there. You know, so honestly, do you talk about romantic comedies or are you talking about, you know?
Whatever.
Romantic movies, period. Like a romantic,
I mean, those, you know, like you know, like The Best Man, you know, Think Like a Man, basically.
Wait, Think Like a Man?
What movie is that?
It's another.
Yeah, it's another.
Is that a Kevin Hart movie?
He's in it. But it's not. He's an ensemble cast, so he's not in it.
Okay, he's not the main
attraction. What Women Want, you know, the Mel Gibson movie.
That's a funny movie. I'll give you that.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's funny. It's a good an original premise.
Is Meg Ryan in that movie?
No. That's
Who's the female lead in that movie?
Actually, Helen Hunt
speaking of which. Yeah.
Yeah, she's the like boss in there.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about
But Marissa Tomei's also in that.
Yes, that's right.
You know, Marissa Tomei is the other one that he's like, oh, don't cheat on me. Yeah. And, you know, like,
she's working at the coffee shop.
She's working there at the coffee shop. Yeah.
It's very sad I know it, but I do like them.
You know, A Pretty Woman is always one of those that I enjoy, you know, but it's Pretty Woman. Yeah.
That's Julia Roberts at the height of her powers, I guess. I don't know.
Can we inject some testosterone in this fucking podcast? I'm done.
All right, man. Let's appease my. All right, let's move away from the, you know, the romantic stuff, all you ladies out there. So let's get to some TV stuff here, because I just particularly Netflix. I know we're watching different things. I just saw Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, the sequel, this morning. It's the best way I can describe it. It's not a horror movie. It's got good action sequences. It's shot really cool. It's beautiful to look at.
Is there wire work?
There's a lot of wire work. which I'm not a big fan of. But it's filmed well, and it's still pretty cool, and it's fun. The fight scenes, the last fight scene was kind of a mess.
Can I ask you a question? Is it funded by Netflix, or did Netflix buy the rights from it from like Hong Kong Cinema?
Do you know? I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I think they bought the rights to it. I think.
Okay, that tells me a lot. That's what I'm saying.
But we'll get George looked it up real quick.
Yeah.
But okay, it's the problem with them is, first, it's 18 years since the last one. Whatever. So
the last one was great. I don't think it holds up.
I haven't seen it recently, but I loved the first one. I watched it the first time. That was great. Great fight scene.
The wire work was a little excessive, but I thought it was a good movie.
But like the difference between that movie and this movie with the wire work is that you can tolerate it more than the first one because it's a better movie. This one just kind of like all over the place, nonsensical at times. The whole thing is like that Green Destiny sword. You know, in the first movie, now it's been missing all this time, quote unquote. Everyone's looking for it, but even George brought this up earlier. Everyone's looking for it, and it's no one knows where it's at. But everybody knows exactly where it's at. So people keep saying, "We gotta find it." I don't know where it's at, but everybody knows exactly where the sword is at. So it's kind of stupid. It's kind of boring. The only character they brought back was Michelle.
They only brought her
back. So there's no tie into the originals. It looks fantastic, though. Beautiful cinematography. It looks great. Nice big HDTV. You'll enjoy it. But to be honest with you, it's free. If this is a theatrical release, I say don't watch it. But on Netflix, it's free.
Oh, no. It
costs you, it's like an hour and a half. It says an hour and 45 minutes, but literally 50 minutes are credits. I'm not even joking. The ending credits are 50 minutes long. So it's actually only an hour and a half.
I generally don't watch credits. I
don't either. But I mean, I just fast forward.
Once you know the movie's over, if it's not like one of those Marvel movies that has some
kind of crap
thrown in the middle
of it. When I first put it on, I'm like, how much time do I have today? I go, it's an hour and 45 minutes. Perfect. And then about an hour and a half, it ended. I'm like, it says 1:45. So, you know, I fast forward on it and literally 15 minutes of credits left in that movie. It's okay. If you're a Kung Fu fan, I am. So I like watching those kind of movies. It's not great. It's just, it's very mediocre.
Yeah, the original was in 2000.
But it's free. So, but on Netflix, watch it.
And like like you were saying, I mean, the original was in 2000. So and a lot of people wanted the sequel because it was so good.
2000, really? That long?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
But you know, they only brought back that one female character, and she was there because the master, the Sei, dies. So that they're there to pay homage to him as a respect.
Yeah.
And then the sword that he has in the first movie, the Green Destiny. So he had it out there to reveal for everybody, and it's supposed to be like this hidden sword, but
everybody knows
where
it's
at.
It's the worst kept secret. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. It's a good movie hidden there somewhere, but I couldn't find it.
No,
to be honest with you, I wasn't a big fan. But again, not the worst movie of all time. You have some hour after kill, catch it. It's a cool fight scenes.
It's on
looks
Netflix.
Great.
I mean,
exactly.
Come on,
it's on Netflix. And it looks great. It does look great.
My problem with Netflix is I have so much lined up on my list that I probably never get to that. Honestly.
There's a good chance of that, yeah.
Yeah.
I know you watch a lot.
I will tell you.
I have a ton of documentaries that I need to look at. I mean...
Yeah, that cinematography for this movie very nice.
So it's a pretty movie.
It's the colors, the scenes.
The colors pop up. I mean, it's like the scenery and the cinematography. The locations are very,
the first
one's
very similar in the same way. It's very scenic, I guess.
They're very scenic.
But this one just falls flat. It's just boring. But whatever. It is what it is. So it's kind of let down.
It's on my list. I'll
maybe. George, I know you were... watching something on Netflix, a new show that came out recently. Please indulge us on what that is. I'm curious to know what your thoughts of that show.
No, I mean, the thing is that we've always, you know, most of the new shows right now deal with a lot of various topics, you know, like some of them deal with the apocalypse, some of them deal with, you know, zombies, they deal with all these kind of tragedies.
You're kind
of
dancing around the issue.
No. I'm trying to precedent this because I know that I'm going to get destroyed when I bring this name in a minute. You know,
whatever do you mean? Mike's on.
See, Mike's already dropping a call. Anticipation.
He's dropping glasses.
I've lost control of myself.
Yeah, so it's, you know, we talked about family and, you know, values that are, you know, some are not. So when I started watching the show, The Fuller House, the Full House reboot.
I'm not that embarrassed by that because I know that you mentioned this last or 2 weeks ago that you were going to look at it.
Exactly. I mentioned that I was going to look at it.
He was a fan when he was a kid.
Did
you
finish the whole show?
I did. I saw the whole show.
Was it good?
It was 13 episodes. I mean, they had
their... Did you like it?
God, I mean, if you were a fan of the original show...
I was not.
Then I mean, then it's the nostalgia factor. Sure, you know, like they brought back everybody with the exception of Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen. So like they decided
to
skip it.
So when they write
it.
That off, did they like put two other blonde kids in there? Or?
Well, they have DJs has the three kids that she's in charge of. You know, like so they basically put, you know, twins there like for the show, but they said that they were in New York like doing their fashion line, so that they try to bring them in, like they try to incorporate them, but they don't really talk, you know, like
so let's just stop for a second. So you had homework to do with Game of Thrones and all that and Daredevil,
and you watched Fuller House.
Thank you. Now did you finish Daredevil?
No.
So you don't even finish Daredevil and you watch Fuller House, dude. I don't understand.
Okay, the one thing
he did see Jessica Jones, though. So.
I saw
Jessica Jones.
I saw Jessica Jones. I've seen Narcos.
But he's in the middle of Daredevil. How can you just stop?
Narcos, like, honestly, I don't put Narcos anywhere near Daredevil.
Oh, it's not up there. No, agreed. No. Or Fuller House, for that matter.
Right.
No,
we've commented on it before, and I don't want to bring it up again.
But the thing about like what I said,
show, but
sometimes you know the Fuller House episodes were 25 minutes, so you know they're 25 minutes, they go by quicker. So in the span that it takes you to see one Daredevil episode, so I was pressed for time, you know, like I've had to, you know, talk about this because you know by the time this podcast goes, we're not going to be with the Oscars, so you know I kind of wanted to bring something out that is worth watching with your family and try to bring, you know, family values to it. You know, something that it's been missing aside from the zombie apocalypse. You know, so it's a decent show if you like the original, but, you know, only like Uncle Jesse and the other ones are there like 3 episodes, maybe out of 13. So like, they pop in and out, but it's not like it could have been a lot better show than it was. You know?
Did the uncle do the moose thing?
Yes. Yeah.
Did Uncle Jesse talk about his hair?
He did. You know, so they had Uncle Jesse with the hair, and then
Joey. You put Daredevil on pause for Fuller House, dude.
Hey, man, you know, like.
And the funny thing is, actually, let me tell you a little story.
I was a fan of the show.
10 or 13 episodes.
13.
And a half hour, or?
They're 25 minutes each. They're like, some of them are 33 minutes.
About 6 hours.
That's still a binge. That's like a full binge.
How many episodes is Daredevil?
13.
What number are you on now?
7.
So you're pressed for time, so taking the same time to watch Daredevil as you did for the house.
Can I just say something? I watched Daredevil the very first weekend it came out. I tried to ration it. I couldn't do it. By Sunday, I just lost my mind like a crazy man and finished the whole thing because I just couldn't
wait. Oh, don't get me wrong.
And during our pre-production meeting, it's very official there, Mike, you went here. So when I brought the same subject where George had finished watching Daredevil.
Yeah, I lied.
He says he did.
Yeah, I lied.
Oh, I finished watching. I'm like, oh, really? So what happened in the end? He's like, okay, I didn't watch it. He's trying to lie about it and cover it up.
It's okay.
Well, because, you know, okay. I tried.
No, it was a nice try, but I called you bullshit on that.
Well, you know me a long time.
What happened
in the end? He's known me a long time,
Okay, I want to talk about some crap on Netflix.
What you got, Mike? What you got?
Well, the Eagles documentary I wanted to recommend to everybody that is a fan since Glenn Frey had died.
Oh, we talked about that, yes.
Like a month ago. Cool. It's interesting to see just from the standpoint that Don Henley and Glenn Frey, both great musicians, are both incredible douchebags. And the documentary pretty much highlights that. It's a good documentary to watch. It's way better than the Journey documentary that's on Netflix, too, about the kid from the Philippines
that took Steve Perry stuff. Who doesn't sound bad. I give him credit for that.
Well, he sounds just like Steve Perry. You know, you can hire Rich Little to come in and do an impression of Johnny Carson, but it's not Johnny Carson. I mean, right? I mean,
no, I agree. Yeah.
I saw that that documentary, I didn't think, did a good job of explaining what they were trying to do other than to collect more money for what they do. There's no original music. He's singing all their old classics. Note for note sounds just like Steve Perry. But again, you could find anybody to do an imitation of anybody. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make it authentic. It turns it into Journey karaoke. And, you know, it's... I highly recommend the Eagles. Okay. I don't highly recommend the Journey documentary.
Cool.
And Lopez, what are we? Are you watching anything, Lopez?
Actually, yeah. This this past weekend, my wife and I, once again, my wife and I, we picked up an original series, Love. And it's Judd Apatow. Mm-hmm. Famous for, of course, for his
and that's on Netflix, right?
Yes, it's on Netflix, and I don't know how many episodes it is, but we watched the first two. The very first one was a good episode. It does display a lot of these characters. It builds up the characters. There's a lot of nudity and sex and all that other good stuff. But and then the second episode was pretty much a letdown because now you're following one of the main characters, and to me personally, it was kind of disappointing. So I'm not sure if I'm going to continue picking up.
So you bailed, or you didn't bail?
I think I might bail. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh wow! Not even one more.
Speaking
show.
Of bailing, I started the Aziz Ansari series, and I think it was called. Well, I don't even know what it's called, but I lasted about 15 minutes, and it was awful. So
Jesus,
I couldn't deal with it.
And what I know you mentioned earlier. What was the other Judd Apatow show that you said that?
Girls, which was awful too.
Yeah.
Oh, it's 10 episodes, guys.
Of
the Love Judd Apatow series.
Oh, yeah. I thought about to say Full House.
There's 13, 10 or 13. Like some shows are 10,
some are 10, some are 13. That's kind of the consensus. I think most shows these days off network are 10, 13 episodes, right. Which I love. It's more concise storytelling.
It's better. It's better for everybody.
It's faster, concise. Yeah. They don't get dragged out. Those filler episodes you get, I can walk in.
The Amazon shows actually are all 10.
Yeah, they're all 10.
Watch Man of the High Castle, Bosch. There's another one I saw a couple weeks ago that I wanted to bring up, Transparent. I don't know if you saw it. There's two seasons on there now. No. I honestly don't recommend it. I didn't like it. Some people have been giving it raves, but I it wasn't for me.
But it's won a bunch of awards also.
Yeah, I don't care. No. I only like what I like.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to sound like I'm
an elitist.
A fighter pilot out here. Yeah.
Hey. He was a medic.
I was a medic.
Correction. Is it accurate here?
No, like I said, it's just not my thing. I tried to watch it. I thought it would be funny. It really wasn't funny. It was just there. And I was like, okay, I don't see what the hype is. And I bailed after an episode and a half. I tried to give it a shot, you know.
I want to get into some of the shows, but I know coming out, we got a lot. We got House of Cards on the 4th.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once I die, but I'm itching to watch.
I passed Bosch on to you guys. I threw the.
I know. I gotta.
Yeah, I saw the link.
And I will.
I saw.
I threw the trailer on.
Yeah, it was. It looked interesting.
On the Real Mentors Facebook page.
Yeah,
so
I want
to take a look at it. It looks good. Season one is on Amazon Prime right now. Okay. Watch it. 10 episodes.
Yeah.
It's not that painful. I started my wife on the first two, and she really dug it. So without going into depth on it, it's a very good show.
No, I'll catch it.
The lead actor is very good. Yeah. So,
but what else? Oh, Daredevil's coming up soon too.
Yeah,
18th of March. 18th,
yes,
so it's right after St. Patty's Day.
Yeah.
So you get drunk.
So we got a lot
hangover
next month, plus Batman v Superman.
Oh,
so we're.
I can't wait. Actually, you know, Lopez, curious because we've talked about it almost ad nauseum.
Yeah.
But I know. What do you think? I know. What are you excited about, Batman v Superman or?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I did like the Man of Steel.
Yes,
the first Superman, and then absolutely. I'm looking forward to see how Ben Affleck portrays Batman on this one.
I liked Man of Steel, but I was disappointed by it at the same time. I was expecting an epic, and it wasn't an epic, but it was a decent movie.
It was a good movie. I really liked it. It wasn't.
I didn't
love it. It was.
I'm
close,
just telling you when I saw that we talked about the trailer where Batman goes supersonic or Superman goes supersonic. I was like, that really pumped me up. I'm going to this movie on the first night, and when I saw it, it was good, but it wasn't like something that blew me away. It wasn't like when I walked out of Avengers and I was just pumped up, you know, or Guardians of the Galaxy for that matter.
Oh, no, of course, yeah. No, I agree. Yeah, it's not like, oh my god, but this one, kind of hope it's really good. A few weeks. I'm super excited.
I've been reading some negative press on it. I shouldn't do that.
But I've read, those are unconfirmed. I know exactly what you're talking about, and there's a lot of stuff going on because I heard reports that they the standing ovation, all this other crap, and the other reports that they're going to pull Zack Snyder off Justice League. But the minute that report,
they already put the shooting dates.
No, they started filming already, and they said that they're going to pull him out. And all of a sudden, a week later, he's filming. So it's. I'm not buying any stories. No one's seen the movie. I'm sure the executives have seen it.
Right.
And whatever. And the consensus was that it was all over the place. But Batman was the best part. And then they said Lex Luthor was the best part, which kind of surprised me. If that's true.
They're saying that Ben Affleck rewrote some parts of the movie too, which I don't know if it's true or not true.
Nah, who knows?
I saw reports of that too.
Yeah, I read that this weekend.
In reliable sources, not crap sources.
And that's fine. That's a good thing as far as I'm concerned. If he wrote it, that's fine by me. It's Ben Affleck.
I just don't like when people, first of all, Ben Affleck isn't a comic writer. This goes with Nolan changing
but
storylines.
But a good story is a good story. As long as, I trust him more than I trust Zack Snyder. I mean, as a director, especially. So he puts his hand on it. And, you don't like Ben Affleck, the director?
I'm not even talking about Ben Affleck. I'm talking about that I like The Watchmen.
I like The Watchmen. I like Zack Snyder. Don't get me wrong, but I'm saying I would rather have Ben Affleck than Zack Snyder.
Okay,
the choice. But I like Watchmen. I like 300. Man of Steel. The only bad one he has is Sucker Punch.
Sucker Punch was terrible.
It was terrible. Bad movie. That's his biggest fail. But let's change gears. We want to give a chance for all of us to, make fun of ourselves here. Not give George a break here. So we were talking about earlier about movies that we own, DVD, Blu-ray, whatever. That we purchased at some point in time, which we still own, which regrettably we wish we hadn't purchased to begin with. So we'll start with Jose, because I think Mike, you're still thinking about it.
No, I got it.
Mike, we'll start with you, man. What's a couple movies or one or two that you hate to admit on air?
I'm gonna just admit this right now. It took me a while to think of it because he said to me, "What movies?" I said, I'm really cool.
He did say he had no bad movies.
I have no bad movies. Then I started to think about it. No. Then I was like. What if these guys go back to my cupboard and they start looking at my movies?
Lies, man.
I am embarrassed to admit that I have a copy of Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet in my DVD collection still there. I haven't watched it in probably 10 years, but I do have that DVD. Wow. It was actually, at one time, I thought it was a decent movie. It does not.
But you know what? It happens, though. We've all gotten those movies we liked, and then it don't hold up, or whatever the case is. So, we all got bad movies.
That's probably... that one is probably the worst out of all the movies. I guess that's not too bad, but it's not that bad. It's a bad movie. It's not a bad movie.
But it's not like, oh my, egregious to own that movie at the end of the day. But it's not good.
It's like Mira Sorvino and Leo DiCaprio, right? Or something like that.
It's Claire Danes.
Paul Sorvino. Yeah, my bad.
I was forced to watch that on our first date, so whatever.
John Leguizamo.
It's not too bad. I don't like Leguizamo at all. So.
Really? I like Leguizamo. I think he's funny.
He's done some good movies and bad movies.
He's not horrible. I think he's a pretty good actor, but I didn't like him in that movie.
No, he's bad. Anyway, Lopez, what you got, man? What you got in that collection of yours?
Regrettably. Well, this purchase actually was a purchase to, for my wife. But it's in the collection. It's there. So, I can't deny that I do have it. I do have 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, my God.
Enough said.
All right. That's all the time we have, folks. See you next week.
Get out.
Sorry.
It's okay, man.
Well, it's going to get worse in a minute.
I mean, there's a purpose behind these purchases. Did you buy it? I actually went out and I bought the Blu-ray, on top of all things.
Oh, my goodness.
Sorry.
If you can see a bad movie, make it look good.
Right. Yeah. You can't even.
1080p.
There's no way to candy coat that crap.
No. Well, he did preface by saying it's for his wife.
It was.
So his wife read the book. He's a big fan because I know his wife very well. Right. So.
Okay. I'll give you a break. Whatever. George.
I know you guys.
I can't preface this with anything because, I can't really justify it. Preface it. I was trying to justify it because at the time when I bought it, I was going out with somebody. So I bought it for her.
Didn't say that before, but go ahead.
Yeah, I did. It was the first Twilight movie. It's there. Have it.
All right, folks. We'll see you next week.
I told you it's going to get worse.
Twilight. Twilight?
Yeah, it was a Twilight.
It's okay. I'll give you a break.
I wish I could just he's trying to get, talk it. You know,
which is fine. I agree.
I got to give him a break.
Well, hold up. Did you watch it with her? Or?
I did watch it with her. Yeah. Okay. That's the one time I saw it. That's it.
I have never seen any of those movies
ever. I haven't either, but I have no desire to.
I've seen the worst movie I've ever seen.
Yeah, the things that we do sometimes, you know.
No, that's forgivable. You know, hey man, what you got? You still own it, like in your collection, or you threw it out, right?
Yeah, I threw it out.
For real?
Liar!
He's such a liar, dude. He threw it out.
No, I still have it.
Watching Daredevil, he threw it out.
No, I still have it.
All right, let's hear it. I looked at your movie collection when I was at your house.
I'm trying to think. I know I got bad movies in there.
You do have a couple bad movies.
Yeah, Superman Returns I own. That's a bad movie.
Yeah, it's not embarrassing, though.
What did you see? Because I'm trying to think.
You have some bad horror movies, dude.
Well, most horror movies are bad, though.
Not
that's
most.
A good one. I got Halloween. That's a horror movie.
Do you have Leprechaun? Blair Witch Project?
No.
Leprechaun?
No.
No.
I got Prince of Darkness.
Okay.
That's pretty bad.
It's bad, but it's a horror movie. The Thing. Yeah.
The Thing is great, though. The original Thing is fantastic. Or not the
Kurt Russell one.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
No, that's not embarrassing. Are you crazy?
No, that's not embarrassing. I'm mentioning the horror movies that I have, I'm saying. I'm just trying to think what you saw in there. That's what I'm saying. I'm
trying to think.
I know I got bad movies. I just having a hard time. Superman Returns just pops in my head. That's the first one that popped up.
Yeah, but it's not.
Ocean's 12 I own.
Yeah, that's bad.
That's bad.
Okay, I'll give you that one.
Yeah, that's bad. Yeah. That's bad. That's pretty bad.
Any of the Ocean's remakes are just...
Yeah,
you like the first one?
Embarrassing. I wouldn't own any of those movies.
I like Ocean's 11.
I like the first one.
Yeah, Ocean's 11. I like.
I hate all those guys in the movie. First of all,
wow, dude. George Clooney, Brad Pitt.
Yeah,
Matt Damon.
Yeah,
Cheetos in.
You like Matt Damon? I thought you liked Matt Damon.
I like Matt Damon, but not in that movie.
Oh, okay.
I don't like that movie. Period. I don't like anything that George Clooney's in except Good Night and Good Luck, which is a great movie.
You like any George Clooney movie at all?
Out of Sight.
Out of Sight's a great
movie.
I
like Up in the Air.
Up in the Air is good. Out of Sight, great movie.
Out of Sight is pretty good.
Oh, see, there you go.
Okay. So Robin Williams and George Clooney.
Well, no, wait. He's like in Three Kings.
It's all right. It's okay.
See, he's got good movies.
Brother, Where Art Thou?
No, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? That's kind of George Clooney.
Sorry, I haven't heard any bad movie. Mike said George Clooney. He hates it for no reason.
Really?
The Batman movies.
That you mentioned besides Batman. It's not good.
I was going to say.
Which I don't own, by the way. So just,
I don't either.
Just for the record. You know? But I'm trying to think. I can't remember. I'll do homework. When I get home today, I'm looking at my collection. And next week, I'll announce the bad movies that I have, admittedly. I know I got some worse movies than that and all that.
Yeah.
I also have Moulin Rouge, Baz Luhrmann, too, just so you know. That's not mine, but I do have it in my collection. One of my kids.
Yeah, we'll refresh that in next week.
Because I got grown-up children, so...
You can have kid movies and that are bad, but you got them for your kids, so that's fine. That's not
well, no, but they like
that's
fine. Girls are different. I have all girls.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you didn't buy it for yourself.
Definitely not.
And that's what I'm saying, which is quite alright. If the kids movies and all, that's fine. It's whatever. Cartoons, I don't want to break something.
It's not an incredibly horrible movie, but nevertheless.
No, I wouldn't say that. But either way, with the short on time here, so this we'll wrap it up now. So George, where can people find you out there? Besides watch a Notebook or Twilight.
No, just at the Real Correspondent on Once Upon a Time. Yeah. No, just at the Real Correspondent on YouTube. Still have that channel. And obviously, with any of these pages that we mentioned before.
Such as?
The Real the Mentors Facebook page. Yeah, with iTunes. Just find us out there.
Yeah. I post on that daily.
I do.
I try to post as myself on there, but sometimes I'll forget and I'll post as a Real Mentor. Because if you see the Real Mentors and it's me ripping George or something, it's you. That's generally me. It's not where I'm not talking as a Real Mentor.
He never ripped George. What are you talking about?
It's fine. I mean, like I said, I have a thick skin, bro. So, throw it out there.
No, it's all good.
Well, you need to.
Yeah, you need to in this line of work for sure.
Apparently you do. Mike, what about you, man?
Ultimo Mike Rose on Xbox Live. I'm on Facebook as myself. You can always contact me through the Real Mentors Facebook page. Yes. Are we going to have a Real Mentors email?
We do, actually.
What is it?
What's the Real Mentor, @gmail.com. You can use that one because I can tie that in. So.
We have that.
Yeah, people can write in, send comments. And I mean, you have to like
Facebook
us on Facebook.
Page is the best way to get a hold of us. If you want to make recommendations for the show, we're always open. We have a couple more shows plotted out, I think.
Yeah.
But
we're open to any topics.
Hey, give us some suggestions. Yeah. We'll be more than happy to mention your name on the air and talk about whatever you brought up.
If you want
to
make fun of George, you know, you can do that too. No, just kidding. just messing with you, man.
All right.
And Jose, again, special thank you to you, man, for coming out. It's awesome to have you here, man. And I hope you make a look. We can definitely bring you back if you want to come back.
Well, thanks, guys.
For some more of the top 10 lists. I'm sure we can generate as time goes by and all that. Well, so
thank you for having me. Absolutely.
No, yeah. Are you anywhere? Well, you got a regular Facebook.
Just regular Facebook page.
We're gonna put Lopez's picture on the Romantor's page and all that, you know, and I may put up his top recommendation, rom com recommendations for you guys.
Yeah, we'll put it up there. Yeah, you know, we'll go special guests, you know. Yeah.
Any guys that are chasing the Kwan, one of Baja Panties, we'll put up Lopez's recommendations on there.
Yeah, why not?
100% guaranteed to work.
Why not?
I wanted to mention my wife's our business.
Go ahead.
Girlslife.com, GIRLZLYFE.com. For any of your needs. Right now, we're selling the crap out of green beer socks. We're doing great with socks. We kill on socks, man.
That's interesting.
So, but green beer socks for St. Patty's Day, killing.
That's right. My favorite holiday. That is
an amazing holiday.
I love St. Patty's.
Oh, I'm a huge corned beef and cabbage guy. So this is like, that's my favorite holiday. And then I'm really not a beer guy, but I'll drink Irish whiskey like crazy.
Agreed. But I will have a little green beer.
Jameson is my stuff.
Jameson. Yeah, that's good stuff. Myself, you can cast my reviews on YouTube, and again, like us on our Facebook page and follow us there. We're putting updates. We try to put them daily. George might do a good job with that. I'm putting my reviews up on that website as well. So we'll see you guys next week. A little post-Oscar discussion. Have a good one.